So now I'll read the translation for the two verses, because it's actually two verses together. Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 10:34, it is said, Mrityu Sava Harashchaham. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches as death, or the Supreme Controller of time, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Devasa Muni from the powerful Sudarshan Chakra sent by the Lord. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. So this is Lord Brahma speaking to Devasa Muni. After Devasa Muni offended Maharaj Ambarish, and then he was pursued by the Sudarshan Chakra. So he was fleeing all over the universe, running for his life, to escape from the Lord Sudarshan Chakra. Ambarish Maharaj, although he was a great emperor, he was also a great devotee. And he was completely detached from all his worldly opulence and possessions. He was a great devotee of the Lord. And he used to use all his opulence and all his possessions, including his own body as well, in the service of the Lord. And at this time he was performing some austerity together with his wife. For 1 year they were performing Ekadasi fasting, but they were doing a full fasting on Ekadasi, no food, no water. And they were doing all this for the pleasure of Krishna and also worshipping the deity form of the Lord. And so Devasa Muni, he's a great yogi, a great personality, but he became a little bit envious seeing Maharaj Ambarish being so spiritually advanced. So he had to try to find some way to catch him out. So he went to visit. Dvasa Muni went to visit Maharaj Ambarish on Dvadasi day, just after he'd completed his Ekadasi vows, and he was preparing to break a fast. So Dvasa Muni came at this time, and Maharaj Ambarish received the sage, welcomed him in the proper way. And then Dvasa Muni went to take a bath. And while he was away taking his bath in the river, the auspicious time for breaking the Ekadasi was approaching. So it was Maharaj Ambarish was in a dilemma. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want to offend the sage by eating before him, because this great sage had come as his guest. But at the same time, he didn't want to be late to break the Ekadasi, because that would affect the results of his Ekadasi fasting. That would be a travesty. So he consulted with his Brahmin ministers, and he decided to just take some water, because by taking water, it's breaking fast and not breaking fast at the same time. So he took some water. And then Dvasa Muni returned from his bath, and he could understand what had happened, what Maharaj Ambarish had done. So he used this very small thing as an excuse to curse Maharaj Ambarish. And not only to curse him, but he pulled out a clump of his hair, and he invoked a powerful demon, a huge, tall, fiery demon, to kill Maharaj Ambarish. I mean, can you imagine, just for drinking a little water to break a Ekadasi, what an overreaction that you have to be killed by a big demon. But Maharaj Ambarish was not afraid. He was not afraid at all. He just, because he was a surrendered devotee, and he depended on Krishna to protect him. And the Lord knew what was going to happen, so he was immediately there with his, he sent his Sudarshan Chakra. Actually, he didn't come personally, but he sent his personal weapon, his Sudarshan Chakra, to vanquish the demon. So the demon was immediately destroyed. And then the Sudarshan Chakra turned around on Dvasa Muni, and Dvasa Muni just fled for his life. So he was running around. He was, because of his mystic powers, he could go anywhere in the universe, or he could even go beyond the universe. So first of all, he went to take shelter of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is the father of all living entities, is the creator. So he thought, surely Lord Brahma, the father of all the demigods, he's respected by all the demigods, all the sages, as the first living being in the universe. So he went to Lord Brahma to take shelter. And this two verses that we've just been reciting, it's the response of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is explaining to Dvasa Muni that there's nothing I can do, because this Sudarshan Chakra is sent by Lord Vishnu, and all of us, we have to carry out his orders. We don't have the power to supersede the orders of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Brahma was afraid of Lord Vishnu. He said that at the end of the Dviparada, everything becomes vanquished. So this Dviparada is actually the lifetime of Lord Brahma, and I'll just have to check here, because I can't remember the number of years. It's 311 trillion. Sorry, 311 trillion and 40 billion years. That is the lifespan of Lord Brahma, and that is when Lord Vishnu he destroys the universe, and everything is destroyed. And that's why Lord Rama says that even himself and Lord Shiva, all the demigods and all the saints, all the rulers, and everyone has to be accountable to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport that everything that we possess, all the opulence, all the prestige, everything is given by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. And so whatever gifts we are given by Krishna, they are meant to be used in his service. So whatever Krishna gives us, whatever little bit of opulences Krishna gives us, they're all meant to be used in his service. And if we try to use them separately, then we just become entangled in karma, in the material modes. But when we use them in his service, then we can actually, that's the proper use, and we can make spiritual advancement. So that's why Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Devasamuni from the Sudarshan Chakra, because he couldn't give shelter, and he was himself afraid of Lord Vishnu. Because of the power of Lord Vishnu, because of the power, his power to destroy everything, and to control everything, that's why the demigods are afraid of him. But when he appeared as Krishna, in his original form as Krishna in Vrindavan, then these great demigods, sometimes they would become bewildered. And being under the influence of false ego, being a little bit puffed up by all their own powers and opulences, they couldn't understand the position of this little cowherd boy. And sometimes they would think he was an ordinary boy. So this happened also to Lord Brahma, that although he was afraid of Lord Vishnu, there's one pastime called the Brahma Mohan Leela, when he tried to supersede the Lord with his own mystic powers. So he played a trick. He was actually trying to test Krishna, so he played a trick by stealing all the cows and the cowherd boys. And anyway, you must all have heard of this pastime, that Krishna was out looking there was a cow that got lost, I think, and Krishna was out looking for this cow. And then when he came back, all the calves and the cowherd boys had disappeared. So he was wondering where they were. But then, of course, he could understand what had happened. Actually, Lord Brahma hid them in the cave of Mount Sumeru. So what Krishna did, just to bewilder Lord Brahma, he expanded himself as these cowherd boys and calves. And all these cowherd boys and calves, they were exact replicas of the original cowherd boys of Krishna's friends. And the calves, they had the same dress and the same bodily complexion, the same voice, gestures, personalities. Everything was exactly the same, so that no one could understand the difference, because Krishna didn't want the mothers and fathers and the mother cows to be bereft of their children. So he just, from his own body, he made replicas of all these cowherd boys and calves. And when Lord Brahma came back, it was just a few seconds of Lord Brahma's time, but there was a whole year had passed of earthly time. And he saw all these cowherd boys and calves there, and he became bewildered, totally bewildered. And then Krishna, he showed to Lord Brahma, he manifested to Lord Brahma himself in these cowherd boys and calves by showing the Vishnu forms. And Lord Brahma was totally amazed. And of course he came forward and he surrendered, he apologized, he fell flat on the ground, and then he could understand who was Krishna. And so when Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Gauranga, Lord Brahma, he actually prayed to appear in these pastimes because of that particular pastime that he had offended Krishna. He wanted to appear in a low family so that his false ego would not create any impediment for him in participating in the Lord's pastimes. So he prayed to, that's the reason why he prayed to appear in a low-born family. And he appeared as Haridas Thakur. And today just happens to be the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, who was an incarnation of Lord Brahma. So now we can speak something about Haridas Thakur. It quite fits together nicely, because first of all we were hearing from Lord Brahma, and now we can speak about Haridas Thakur. As you all know, Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya, and he appeared in a Muslim family. And one reason for this is, as I just explained, from his own prayer. And another reason was that Lord Chaitanya wanted to show the world that a great Vaishnava can appear in a low-born family to counteract this caste consciousness of India, whereby the caste Brahmins were thinking that anyone who was not born in a Brahmin family could not become a Brahmin, could not become a Vaishnav. So just to destroy this misconception, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had Haridas Thakur appearing in a Muslim family and becoming actually the Namacharya, the Acharya of chanting the holy name. And Haridas Thakur, he used to chant 300,000 names daily. This was his vow. From a young age, actually from a young age, he showed a proclivity for chanting the holy names. And he became renounced at a very young age and just became totally absorbed in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So just to understand what is 300,000 names, I did a little bit of maths here. And 300,000 names, because the Maha Mantra is 16 names, there are 16 words in the Maha Mantra, so that is actually 18,750 Maha Mantras. And which means it's about almost 174 rounds per day. Now we sometimes struggle to chant our 16 rounds. So you can imagine 174 rounds. And if he would chant 8 rounds in an hour, then this would take 21 3/4 hours to chant. He may have chanted a little bit faster than that, but that's just like an average time to try to get some understanding of the life of Haridas Thakur, how he lived. So if he spent 21 3/4 hours chanting the Maha Mantra, that he would have 2.25 hours remaining out of 24 to do whatever else he had to do, such as taking prasadam, taking bath, taking rest, or anything else. So basically he was chanting practically 24 hours a day, just completely absorbed in the Maha Mantra. And the effects of the chanting could be seen in his character, that he was totally unaffected by any kind of material temptation, that Maya couldn't touch him. And even Maya Devi herself came to him, and he was totally unaffected. So this is the potency of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, when one chants without offense, that he's totally protected and he's not affected by any of the temptations or troubles of this material world. He was, one time when he was living in a cave, there was actually a poisonous snake living in that same cave. And Haridas Thakur was not worried about it at all. He was just unaffected. Just like Prahlad Maharaj was unaffected when his father threw him in a pit of snakes. So like that, Haridas Thakur was unaffected by the snake, but it was disturbing for people who would come to visit him. They were disturbed by it and they were afraid. And they, so they asked him to do something about the snake. So he spoke to the snake and said, you know, maybe either I can go or you can go, I don't mind. And so then the snake just went away and left him on his own. But for him it was no problem, because he was free from fear, because he was constantly absorbed in chanting the Maha Mantra. He was totally free from fear as well. So when he was a young man, there was a landowner named Ramachandra Khan, who became envious of the influence of Haridas Thakur because of his reputation and because people were worshipping him. So this Muslim landowner, he wanted to bring Haridas Thakur down. So he sent a beautiful young prostitute to try to bring him down. Her name was Lakshahira. So she went to visit Haridas Thakur, and she tried to seduce him. And Haridas Thakur, he said, you just sit down and I will finish my chanting and then I will fulfill your desire. So she sat down and she waited, and he was chanting and chanting all through the night until the morning came, and then she was disappointed and she got up and left. And then the next night she came back again and the same thing happened. And then the third night she came back again. And she sat there, and he told her the same thing again. Just wait, I'll finish my chanting. I have to finish my vow. And she was hearing the chanting, and eventually her heart was changed, and she felt very bad. And she fell down at his feet, and she confessed to him what had happened, who had sent her, why she was here. And he said, don't worry, I already knew everything. I could have gone, but I stayed here just to deliver you. And she said, how can I be delivered? And he said, just all the money that you have earned from your sinful activity, donate it to the brahmanas, and shave your head, worship Tulsi Devi, and chant the Maha Mantra, which she did. she followed his instructions and she became a great devotee. So he turned this prostitute into a Vaishnavi. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shishi Gonitai. And later on he was tempted again. This was after he went to live at Fulia near Shantipur. And it was just before he became friends with Advaita Acharya. Actually, Maya Devi herself came to tempt him. And he heard her voice. And again, he was totally unaffected. And she actually, she also became his disciple and took initiation from him in the chanting of the holy name. She told him that Lord Shiva, because she is the wife of Lord Shiva, she said that Lord Shiva gave me the, initiated me in the name of Ram, but I also wanted to be initiated in the name of Krishna. So she got initiated by Haridas Thakur into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra. So Haridas Thakur was actually about 35 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared 35 years before. And so when he went to live at Fulia, which is near Shantipur, then he became friends with Advaita Acharya. And they actually, both of them, were responsible for invoking the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this earth. As you know, Advaita Acharya, he was worshipping Shaligram Shila and worshipping the Ganga and praying for the Lord to descend. And at the same time, Haridas Thakur was chanting the Maha Mantra and praying for the Lord to descend. So it was from the prayers of these two great personalities, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended on this earth. And and then in another pastime, because Haridas Thakur was actually not only an incarnation of Lord Brahma, but he was also said to be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. And another quality of Prahlad Maharaj he manifested when he was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He was arrested by the magistrate, by the Qazi, because people were reporting to him that this Muslim has become a Hindu and he's chanting the names of Krishna and this is very bad. So he was arrested and the Qazi told him, you should immediately stop this chanting. You are a Muslim. Just follow your own religion. And Haridas Thakur said, well, there's just one God and we have different religions. So sometimes Hindus may become Muslims because the Muslims converted so many Hindus to Mohammedanism by force. So he said, sometimes Hindus may become Muslims. Sometimes Muslims may become Hindus. So what's the problem? It's, you know, all religions lead to the same goal. There's one God. But, of course, the Qazi and the other Muslim leaders, they were not interested to hear his philosophy. Being fanatical Muslims, they decided to punish him. And it was ordered for him to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. So Haridas Thakur, he took this beating and he just kept on chanting. So he was being taken from one village to another and being beaten and beaten. And he didn't feel anything, and he just kept chanting. And later the Lord revealed to him that actually he was taking that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his back. He showed the marks on his back that he was actually taking that beating on behalf of his beloved devotee, Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I wanted to send my Sudarshan Chakra to kill the people who were trying to beat you, but because you were praying for them, because you were praying to me to forgive them, I couldn't do that. So I took the beating for you. So actually they were trying to kill him by beating him, but Haridas Thakur, he wasn't affected, he wouldn't die. And then these two soldiers that were beating him, they said, we're going to get in trouble, they're going to kill us now because you're not dying, so please die. So Haridas Thakur said, all right, then I will die. So he didn't actually die, but he appeared to be dead. He suspended his breath. He went into a trance, like a yogic trance, a samadhi, and stopped his breathing. And he appeared to be dead. So it was ordered for his body to be thrown in the Ganga. They threw his body in the Ganga. And he swam downstream. He came out back in his home place and continued his life. And when the Muslim magistrate found out, they felt very bad. They apologized to him. And after that, they left him alone, because they could understand then that this is a great saintly person and you don't mess with someone like this. And they left him alone. So Haridas Thakur then, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya and began his Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip, so Haridas Thakur was then participating in these pastimes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to send Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur from door to door to preach and to ask people to chant. And so he was doing this. And then later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he moved to Puri, then Haridas Thakur also moved to Puri. And because of his great humility, he would not enter the Jagannath temple, even though he was not forbidden from entering. He took the position of being born in a Muslim family, and he said, I don't deserve to enter the temple. And so he stayed a little distance away from the temple, and he used to just see the Vishnu Chakra on top of the temple and perform his bhajan there. And in that place there was one twig that was used for, they used to offer to Lord Jagannath for brushing his teeth, and then they used to give the remnants, these twigs were given to chosen people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received one twig of a bakula tree, and he planted it, and that grew into a beautiful tree known as the Siddha Bakula, which is still there now. If you go to Puri, you can see that tree. And that was Haridas Thakur's hut was built underneath that tree, and that's where he used to chant. And when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami used to come from Vrindavan, they would always stay together with Haridas Thakur. And every morning, Lord Chaitanya, after he went to visit Lord Jagannath, he would go and see Haridas Thakur and bring him prasadam from Lord Jagannath. So in this way, Haridas Thakur was very, very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur would say, please don't embrace me, I, I'm untouchable, you shouldn't touch me, you'll get contaminated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, no, actually I get purified by embracing you. And the because Haridas Thakur was much older, as I said before, 35 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he by this time in Jagannath Puri he was getting old, and he was his health was deteriorating to such an extent that he couldn't eat. He couldn't eat very much at all, and he was still keeping up his vow of chanting 300,000 names a day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to fulfill this vow anymore. You're very old. You're not well. You should rest. But Haridas Thakur was very firm to his vow. He was struggling, but he was still performing his vow to chant, chanting practically 24 hours a day. But then he could understand, Haridas Thakur could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were coming to an end, and so he expressed a final wish to the Lord. He said that, I cannot bear to be separated from you, so please let me go before you. And so, perhaps because he could see that Haridas Thakur was also getting old and feeble and struggling, so he granted this wish. He granted the last wish of Haridas Thakur to allow him to leave before him. And the way that Haridas Thakur left was, he actually left his body at will, just as compared to Bhishma Dev, when Bhishma Dev left his body, that he left at will. And he was, he left his body, and he had the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya on his chest, and he was just gazing at the Lord's face. And it was on this day, on the full moon day, that he was chanting the names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he left this mortal world. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up his body. He was carrying the body of Haridas Thakur and dancing. And they had a huge kirtan. All the devotees had a huge kirtan. And then they went to the beach, and they dug a pit there and placed the body of Haridas Thakur in Samadhi on the beach. And that's the place where, if you go to Jagannath Puri now, you can visit that Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which is right next to the beach. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally went to the Jagannath temple to beg alms, to ask for prasadam, and distributed prasadam to all the devotees. They had a huge feast to celebrate the passing of Haridas Thakur. And in this way, he left this mortal world. And Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So if there are anything to add, or any questions...